Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Tons going on in the world of sports. Busy, busy NFL weekend. Already off to a bad start, although hopefully that'll change it. 1 o'clock tomorrow. We have a ton to do. 800-919-3776. The number as always. Obviously, we'll do a frenzy at 9:45 this morning. 10:30 this morning, Stump Rothenberg. I was talking to someone at the station yesterday. I won't even name names. But a high-ranking official at the station yesterday I was chatting with, and he says, I got to be honest, I love Stump Rothenberg. He says, every Saturday, 10:30, I cannot wait for it. So for him and for you, as we do every Saturday, that comes your way at 10:30 this morning. 11 o'clock, the great R.J. Bell from out in Vegas to give you the great thing about R.J. is, and I won't say this to him because he'll get a swelled head. It'll be terrible. The great thing about R.J. is, if you wager on games, he's obviously a terrific listen and an advice giver and all that. If you just want factual information, he's great for that too. So if you want to be the smartest guy at the bar on Sunday at 3 o'clock, he provides you that as well. So he'll join us at 11 o'clock for the entire hour. And he does this thing, and I mean, I don't know how you couldn't know about it. It's called the Super Contest because he mentions it like every 7 to 10 minutes when he joins the show. And he traditionally does very well. And his partner in crime, Fezzik, out in Vegas, is the only person to ever win the Super Contest two separate years. And the Super Contest is you pick five games every week and the winner takes all. And it's hundreds of teams. And this one guy, Fezzik, has won it twice. RJ, you pick five games a week, 3 weeks in, is 11-4. And last week went 5-0. So his, you know, he really is terrific. And he'll tell you that certainly, but he really does a great job. So we have a ton to get into. I just want to spend a couple minutes on the baseball and then we'll get heavy into football for probably the majority of the show. 800-919-3776. So Alonso last night hits 52 on a line. He hit it so hard. And the only question was, is it high enough? Right? Is it going to be high enough to clear the wall? It did. It hit off the back of the left field. Past the fence into the kind of the casing out there in left field, hits off that, bounces back onto the field, home run 52. So that's where, I mean, what an amazing season. This is a rookie, people. And you know what the thing is? Congratulations. You know what the honest thing is? Is that if the expectations weren't put on this team, maybe we'd be a little bit more excited about where they are. Because this is a team coming into the season we had huge question marks about. And you know what the funny thing is? One of the things that we probably felt okay about was the bullpen. Or at least better about the bullpen with the Mets team. And look at what they've been this year. I mean, they have been so bad. So bad this season. I mean, the other night, Diaz, he can't even come in and get an out against anybody without allowing a run. But Alonso has given you reason to be extremely excited. I mean, he's given you a season. We didn't know if he was going to make the team. And now he's got no one in the history of Major League Baseball. I mean, think about this for a second. No one in the history of the game, which has been around for what, 140 years, as a rookie, has ever hit more home runs than Pete Alonso in a season. Ever. Quite a year. So what is he, 52-119, I think, and 124 is the record? So he's got the Mets home run record. He might have the Mets RBI record, if a big remainder to the weekend. And he's a rookie. So you're excited about that. You're excited about McNeil, who hit, you know, what, 320 this year and provides big hit after big hit. Yeah, I think you're excited about Rosario. You're always excited about DeGrom because he's unbelievable. You're excited about Conforto. So Lugo has had a sensational season. Now, there are some question marks, and there probably will remain to be some. But there is reason for optimism, I think, going into next year. But the Mets, and they get a win, and it's a good win, and Stroman pitched well. And the thing is, you trust one guy in the bullpen. I mean, you might look at the Mets bullpen and say, we have less confidence in our bullpen than any team in all of baseball has in theirs. Really? I mean, you say the Nationals, but the Nationals bullpen has been good enough. And their bullpen has been much better of late. And Doolittle's been better. And Daniel Hudson's been better. So I don't know that there's a bullpen that has had a worse season than the Mets. But overall, 52? I mean, hats off to you, my friend. And you know what? It's not only 52. It's the way he conducts himself. I don't know if you read his quote. But he said something to the effect of, you know, as I was running around the bases, I just, it was my happiest moment. I felt like a 7-year-old kid. It was my happiest moment in my baseball life, which is great on so many levels. A, that the guy who's obviously had a storied up to this point baseball life is celebrating his happiest moment, but he also puts it in perspective. He's not one of these fools like me who would say, like, this is the greatest moment in my entire life. No. He puts it in perspective. He gets it. I'll tell you, he judges are unbelievably likable, more on the reserved, quiet side. Alonso is incredibly likable, a little more effervescent and outgoing, but really, I mean, the future of the Mets, as far as he is concerned, very, very bright. Yankees, I mean, you score 1,000 runs, you had 12 more home runs. I mean, it's unbelievable what the Yankees have done. It doesn't matter who they put in that lineup, they're going to hit home runs. Now, Paxton leaves the game early. I guess tightness in the glute is what it's being called. Now, they said if this game would have been important, that he could have stayed in. It always gets you worried. It always gets you nervous. I mean, God knows, right? With the amount of injuries the Yankees have sustained this season, God knows. However, they said, and he said, if this was a playoff game, he would have stayed in. So he allowed the home run. He comes out after the first inning, and we move on. So that's where we are with that. Yankees are fine. You have nothing to worry about, but now it's official. Yankees, Twins, Friday, Yankee Stadium. We know. Astros win again. Astros clinch the top overall seed in the American League. And I still stand by this. The Astros will have whoever they play, and I could be wrong, and we've seen it happen many times, but the Astros will have a tougher DS matchup than the Yankees. If they play the A's or the Rays, they'll have a tougher matchup. And where are we with that? Well, I'm glad you asked. So last night, and I'm watching it because I'm just a fool. So Cleveland loses early. They're done. They had a horrendous end to the season. They got clobbered by Washington last night. They were so good all year, and Francona did such an amazing job, and then it completely fell apart the last week, losing to the White Sox, losing to the Nationals, just awful, awful stuff. But they're done. So Tampa and Oakland are in. The question is, where's that game going to be played? Tampa wins last night. Glasnow pitches looked terrific. I think they took him out after 4 1/3, comes out of the game. They beat Toronto. So they're 96-64. Oakland had a game lead coming into the night. Oakland trails 2-1. Matt Olson hits a home run to put them up 3-2. 3-2 into the ninth in Seattle, who is dreadful. Hendricks comes in. He's been lights out all year long. Two outs, men on third, A's up, a run, base hit, ties it, double, wins it, Oakland loses, they fall to 96-64. So if they end in a tie, Oakland gets the tiebreaker because they won the season series 4th. So it's going to be Tampa and Oakland. Winner faces Houston. Yankees and Twins completely 100% set. National League, not as clear right now. Dodgers, top seed, done. Braves, 2 seed, done. Cardinals, and you may not even have realized this, the Brewers, since Yelich has gone out, have been so unbelievably red hot that they've gotten themselves to 89-71, just a game behind St. Louis for the Central. So if that ends in a tie, they'd have to play a game on Monday to determine the division winner. Washington is locked in. Milwaukee is locked in. The only question is who wins the division and who's your second wild card. But that's where we are right now. Baseball playoffs start on Tuesday. We are the exclusive home of the playoffs right here on 98.7 ESPN. So a ton going on in the world of sports. Baseball on the table. Mets, Alonso. If you just want to call and say, like, what a great season by him. I mean, I'd love to hear the Mets fan who has had a lot of reason to ram their head against the wall this year. But you know what? This has been a sensational season for Pete Alonso. Rookie of the year. I mean, you have to figure he's going to get some MVP voting. He won't win it, but some. He's had one of the great rookie seasons in the history of this storied game. So that's where we are at the baseball. Yankees are in. Yankees, Twins. Mets have two more. Mets are out. We know that. Bullpen disaster. Diaz, I mean, you can't use negative enough adjectives to use about Edwin Diaz for this season. But the Mets are out. Alonso with a historic season. So that's kind of the baseball setup. That's where we are right now. And then, of course, the NFL. And we'll get into that in just a moment. You know, I've heard so many people this week, don't get excited about Daniel Jones. Don't get too excited. It's only one game. You're fooling yourself if you do that. You heard all the pundits. You heard all the experts. Listen, is there a chance that he's not very good? Yeah, There's a chance he's not very good. There's a chance that he's a one-hit wonder. But why would you think that at this point? I mean, this guy, every single solitary step of the way, has handled himself with class, appropriately, not... I mean, you say, well, you know what? Every quarterback does that. Yeah, memo to Baker Mayfield, whose team looks terrible and can't keep his mouth shut for 2 seconds. And they love him in Cleveland. This guy was booed at Yankee Stadium. He was booed at the draft. What quarterback in the first round is booed at the draft? And I hated the pick. And almost everyone to a man and woman hated the pick. But you know what? I don't know how you couldn't have done a complete 180. Can you get his bust ready for the Hall of Fame? No, that's premature. Does he look like he's going to be good? He looks like he's going to be good. And hopefully we get to see more of that tomorrow. And let me tell you this as well, and I'm not trying to knock him, and I love him. He's one of my all-time favorite athletes in the history of sport. If Eli Manning is the quarterback last Sunday for the Giants in Tampa, they have no chance to win that game. People, let's be honest, and let's be fair, and let's be frank. As we sit here on September 28th, Daniel Jones is clearly the better quarterback. And it's not easy to say, but I always am honest. And he's clearly the better quarterback.
It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question. Call now at 800-919-3776 or tweet at Rothenberg ESPN, hashtag football frenzy, and ask us your NFL questions.
That's right. Here we are. Saturday morning frenzy and the football frenzy brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle. Now, Kai's on the board. Kai, if they call up and you are not pleased with the way they start, like if they start with, hey, Dave, big fan of the show, you have the buzzer ready to go, yes? Yes. All right, let's give you something. Hey, Dave, listen, huge fan, love Humpty Dumpty. Very well done. I'm going to give you one more. Who's better, Patrick Mahomes or Brett Favre? There you go. See, you got it, Kai. You got it. Now, do you guys have it? 800-919-3776. On Twitter, at Rothenberg ESPN. We'll toggle back and forth. Let's go, James in Queens. You're on the frenzy, James.
Will Daniel Jones' win motivate the Giants' defense enough to make the plays they need to for the rest of the season?
I just don't think they're that good, so no, it won't. I think that he gives you a shot of adrenaline watching a quarterback play at that level, and maybe their level goes up a little bit, but talent wins, and they just don't have a lot of talent on that team. Mark Ordonez, should we be comparing Patrick Mahomes to Tom Brady's GOAT status? Come on. Mahomes is amazing. Does things we've never seen. He's been here for a cup of coffee. Tom Brady has won 6 Super Bowls. No. Chucky, Long Island, you're on the frenzy.
Yo, Dave, superstition-wise, if you're a guy who, suicide pool, had his pick done since Tuesday, and then he hears Rothenberg Saturday morning and changes it, superstition-wise, would you do the change based on the Saturday morning Rothenberg or stick with what you had Tuesday?
What was your Tuesday?
It was exactly that call you just got. I had Colts for some reason, felt Colts from early in the week.
No, I don't think you're awful going with the Colts, and I think they'll probably win. But the Chargers are odds are a better matchup than anybody else in the NFL. So I would go with the Chargers, and I will. Mitch in East Windsor. Mitch, you're on the frenzy.
Well, Baker Mayfield and Jeff Goff. Excuse me.
Jared, go ahead.
Big day.
Well, Mayfield will not. No, Sunday. I don't. I think Baltimore is going to beat up on Cleveland. I think Cleveland is on the verge of bursting at the seams. Goff, yeah. I mean, big day. He'll do fine. He'll do well. Edwin Valencia. Do you think Detroit's secondary can hold up against Mahomes? No. I don't know that any secondary can hold up against Mahomes, to be honest with you. So I would say that's extremely unlikely, and I'm really excited to watch him play New England. Really excited. I mean, guys, do you realize Baltimore's defense is unbelievable, and he picked them apart like he was out to lunch? Mike in Yonkers. Mike, you're on the frenzy.
Giants cover the spread against them. Will the Giants cover the spread against the Redskins?
Now, here's the thing. Spread's different all over the place. 2.5, I think so. 3, I probably wouldn't touch it. 3.5, I would probably take Washington. RJ Bell is going to join us at 11 o'clock live from Vegas. Took the Redskins as his pick of the week, getting 3. So I think the Giants win the game, but who knows? Brian in West Hempstead, you're on the frenzy, Brian.
Will the Ravens and Bills cover the spread from your buddy, the Charles Manson follower?
The Charles Manson follower, that's lovely. Will the I think the Ravens cover, and no, and I wouldn't touch the Bills. I don't know how you could go against the Patriots, to be honest. Gabe in Saddlebrook. Gabe, you're on the frenzy.
Who will finish with more wins, the Jets or the Giants?
I'll still say the Jets because I think overall they're the more talented team. But, you know, if you start at 0-6 or 0-7, it's you know, daunting to think about, you know, overcoming that. M.A. wants to know on Twitter, are the Cowboys the NFC favorites as of today? It's hard to say they're not. I think the Cowboys are right there. I think the Rams are right there. I thought the Packers were right there, but they certainly took a little bit of a hit. The Eagles are a very good team. So, I mean, they're right there. Saints without Breeze has to take a little bit of a hit. They're right there. If not now for Dallas, when would be the question. Cody and Lindenhurst. Cody, you're on the frenzy.
If Sam Darnold comes back for the Eagles game, do the Jets have a chance of going 8-8?
Yes, absolutely. I think it'll be hard. I don't think you beat the Eagles or the Cowboys or the Patriots, which puts you at 0-6, so it's hard. But could they? They could. John Jersey, you're on the frenzy.
Hey, does Patrick Mahomes have a better chance of getting the two-time MVP, or do you see it going to maybe Brady?
No, he's the odds. I mean, he's already running away with the number in Vegas. Like, he is. It would be, unless he gets hurt or something catastrophic happens, it would be shocking for him not to win the MVP. Sean in Jersey. Sean, you're on the frenzy.
Hey, just wanted to know, did the Eagles right the ship on Thursday night or just pour a few buckets of water on the dumpster fire?
That's a great question. I don't know. But you go into Green Bay and you win there, and they're a pretty good team. You got to feel pretty confident. And you know what the thing about the Eagles is? You got to feel that there's not a game that they can't win. There's nowhere they can't go to win. They're not intimidated by New Orleans, in New Orleans. They go into Chicago and beat the Bears. So there's nowhere that they're not capable of winning. Real quick, Brett in Rockland. Brett, you're on the frenzy.
Can the Bills pull off the win?
I don't think so. I'd love to see it. I'd love a change at the top of that division and overall in the AFC, but I just don't know how that they're going to beat New England. New England is so well coached and so disciplined and so smart. And I mean, all the positive accolades you can think of laying on a team, you throw on that team. Around the league, driven by the old new Ford Lincoln of Queens. Get the best pricing around at Ford Lincoln of Queens off the corner of Hillside. I'm doing the wrong read. That's a terrible job by me, and I certainly apologize. Football Frenzy was brought to you by Mercedes-Benz and New Rochelle, a team above all, a team at Mercedes-Benz and New Rochelle. Visit mbnewrochelle.com. Mercedes-Benz and New Rochelle, a proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, driven to perfection.
He's pompous.
Listen, shut up, and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question, and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
All right, you can try. The last 2 weeks, I've really been, you know, nothing shy of sensational. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the sensational, talented law offices of the great Andrew M. Cohen. Now, Brian, you have not been here for my display the last couple of weeks.
I have not.
But you are here for this week, which
yes,
makes me a little nervous because, you know.
Why?
Because I like to have things similar to when I've done well. So I've had Ty here. I've been great. He goes, you're in. Now I'm a little worried. Should I be or not?
I don't know. We'll see.
It's not a great vote of confidence.
That's very discouraging.
Right? I mean, I don't know. We'll see. Just say, Dave, you're going to be great. You know, let me turn to you because Brian clearly is not on my wavelength. Kyrie, how do you think we're going to do today?
You're going to be awesome, man. 6-for-6.
Nah, see, this is my guy. All right, a lot of stress because of Brian, but let's go. Anywhere you want to go, sports, movies, music, geography, history, you're welcome to play. Mike in Brooklyn, lead us off. You're on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, this is a Seinfeld trivia question.
Okay, now, let me just tell you this. I actually saw Seinfeld in concert. Is that what you call it? Doing his stand-up. I don't know if it's in concert or not, but it's doing his live show last night. Nice. So I feel like I'm in the right mindset.
Excellent. Fantastic. All right. So on the show, one of the famous lines is when Elaine yells, he's a regifter. Who was the regifter in that episode?
So a regifter. That's the label making.
Wow, very good. Yeah, that was the item that was regifted.
Oh, I think Tim Whatley was the regifter, wasn't he?
That is correct. You are right.
Dr. Tim Whatley. You know what else Dr. Tim Whatley is? Right? What else is he? Come on.
Oh, what? Wait, he's
Oh, now we're going to turn the tables a little bit, my friend.
Yeah.
The anti-dentite.
The anti-dentite, yes, that's right.
The anti-dentite also. That's my wheelhouse. I mean, I'd like to think of myself as a Seinfeld expert. And by the way, stand-up was sensational. All right, I heard nothing, Kai. Did you play the...
I did.
There you go. Want to know. All right, Brendan in Bloomfield, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Brendan. Where are you going? What's your category?
We're going baseball. Baseball.
Oh, all right.
New York Mets baseball.
New York Mets baseball.
In the 1986 World Series, Game 6, the bottom of the 10th, who were the four Mets to safely reach base?
All right. So this is a multiple-part question here. Okay. It's Hernandez?
Incorrect.
Can I take another shot at that?
Sure.
I'm in an 0-for-1, and that's Carter?
That is correct. You got the first hit.
Obviously, Mookie.
Yeah, correct.
Ray Knight.
Correct. There's one more.
And I think Kevin Mitchell.
Correct.
Yeah.
I don't know if that counts or not.
It kind of does. I don't know. I mean, Brian, how do you feel?
You redeemed yourself on that one.
Yeah.
Because I was surprised that you got all those right, so... I will say.
Kevin Mitchell was the tricky one. I don't know. I mean, I think my genius shined through there, but I did kind of get it wrong. So we'll see how it ends. If I'm sub 500, we're going to give that to me. If I'm above 500, maybe we won't. Thanks for the call, Brendan. All right. Let's move forward here, and let's go to Chris and Bethpage. Chris, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Yeah, Hernandez famously flew out. Then went in and drank a beer in the clubhouse while all of that was going on.
Oh, maybe you should host the segment.
Dave, I was going to tell you, too. I've been out for 2 weeks. I've been calling you for 2 years. I ironically haven't called you in 2 weeks. I had things to do. That's why you've been on fire. So let's get back into it.
So your goal is to beat me up here.
Yeah, I love you, Dave. I love you, but I gotta come hard at you. So here's a question:
is this going to be an awful question?
No, it's a great question. Even your screener said it was a great question.
Okay, well, he's also a little bit off, but go ahead.
All right. Who's the only female justice to swear in a president?
To swear at the president?
To swear in a president. To swear him into the office.
Oh, I thought you were getting a little frisky there. The only female justice... was it Sarah Hughes?
Sorry,
you can't say that kind of stuff on the radio.
That's unbelievable.
Because you don't understand the amount of knowledge... And I also think Sarah Hughes lived to...
I'm surprised you got that one. Okay.
Well into her 90s, Sarah Hughes. Well, the amount of knowledge that I bring to the table is second to none. All right, let's continue along. Steve in Brooklyn. Steve, you are next up on Stump Rothenberg.
NBA, Dave.
All right. Are we going old time? Let me feel where you're going to go. Where are you going to go?
Recent, right now, right now.
Right now, all right.
Which active player has the current streak for most consecutive playoff appearances?
Most consecutive playoff appearances. This is a good question. I mean, who's been around forever? I don't know that I'll know it. I know. I mean, Robert Horry would have been my guess back in the day, but that's clearly not going to be.
I'm saying current player.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Player.
Tony Parker.
He's not active anymore, and he did have it until last season with the Hornets. That broke the history.
So we can't go with Manu, because now you're going to say Manu just retired, right?
Yeah, it's an active player, yes. And someone took the mantle from Tony Parker, who missed the playoffs last season for the first time.
All right, and it's not LeBron, obviously. I don't know that I know this one. Wade went forever, but then he didn't go. Yeah, I don't think I know it. Let me guess. Who's been around forever and on good teams? I don't know. I don't know the answer.
J.J. Redick, 13 consecutive seasons.
Okay. All right, that's a nice question. I'll take the L on that. That's fine. You can give me the buzz, Ty. It feels like you pressed it harder than the normal on that one, but that's all right. Let's go to Mike in Farmingdale. Mike, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, what's up, man?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, you ready? We're going movies.
All right. Are you going like a recent movie or an old time movie? Where are you going?
I'm 38, so it's one of my childhood classics.
Okay.
Spaceballs.
Okay.
All right. The ship, Spaceball 1, has three special speeds. One is light speed, one is ludicrous speed. What's the speed in the middle?
Ludicrous speed, light speed. I don't know that I know.
Too slow, so they have to go to ludicrous speed.
Yeah, no, I remember. I was hoping you were going to ask me about ludicrous speed. I knew that one. Yeah, that was.
They do flash it up on the screen, like the ship lights up all three speeds.
I don't know that I know it. Ludicrous speed is the fastest one. Light speed. I don't know.
Give up?
Warp speed.
Incorrect. It's ridiculous speed.
Oh, yeah, I do. You're right. That's not a bad question. That's not a bad question. All right. So now it's falling apart, and Brian is like a prophet with me getting these wrong. Brian, are you going to play here?
Yeah.
All right. I got to get back on track. I feel like you've jinxed me.
I jinxed you?
Yeah, I feel like Kai,
negative Kai had a lot of confidence in you today.
Well, I started out brilliantly, and then the last two I have not hit. So go ahead.
All right. This is a soccer question.
Oh, God.
But you should know it, because you know your history like randomly like that.
I'm not going to know this. I don't know anything about soccer.
What country?
I have a friend that's listening now, Luca, that loves soccer.
Okay, what country won the first World Cup? That's it.
Oh, God. 1930.
Yes. You got the year right.
I want to say Uruguay, but now I'm concerned. I think it's Uruguay, 1930.
You are correct, sir.
Yeah, I am correct, sir. That is right. Beautiful. All right. You get me nervous.
You're back in the game.
But you might know it, and it's very stressful with you. All right, I want to get one more right. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Robert in Manhattan. No, he doesn't. I don't want to go to Robert. Let's go to Ronnie, Long Island. Ronnie, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hi, how are you? Okay.
Good. What's going on, Ronnie?
Movie question. In the movie The Godfather, the famous scene where the horse's head is placed in the producer's bed.
Right.
Give me the name of that horse.
So Lance, I think, is the name of the guy, the movie producer. The horse or Waltz? Was it Cartoon?
You got it.
I love the guy. Like Seinfeld and The Godfather, two of my favorite things to watch. Waltz was the name of the producer. Cartoon was the name of the horse. All right, Brian, what do you think? You think we're good, or you want to take one?
I think we're pretty good.
I did really well.
I think you did really well, though.
Really well.
The Supreme Court justice, that surprised me. I didn't think you were going to get that right.
I don't understand why you don't have confidence in me.
That seemed like a hard one, that's why.
But Kai, you knew it. You knew I was going to be good.
I thought you were going to be better than this, but you were, you were good. I thought you would be better. Well, I had higher hopes.
Better than this?
He's so excited.
I went like 5-2.
I know, but I was up for 6-6.
You have some nerve. You know all the reads you want me to do during the breaks and like records and all that stuff? I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Stump Rothenberg, by the way, put me in a bad... Better than that, I was terrific. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by... Speaking of terrific, the law offices of Andrew M. Cohen, who is terrific in his entire law practice, they are, as Kramer would say, the tops. Whether the issue is simple or complex, the law office of Andrew M. Cohen can help you achieve your needs through careful legal planning. They might be better at legal planning than I even am at Stump Rothenberg. That's how good they are. So call them for any legal need you might have, 516-877-0595, or visit amcohenlaw.com. I almost feel like we're just heading out to Frank and to Las Vegas. And who do we bring in? The voice of Las Vegas. That is the great RJ Bell from pregame.com. You can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Good morning, RJ Bell.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
Excellent. You know, didn't get a ton of sleep last night, but enough.
You were living it up in Vegas, weren't you?
You know, sometimes you work hard, sometimes you play hard.
So, I'm going to ask you this, not to embarrass you, because I think you probably know it. We do a segment at 10:30 every Saturday called Stump Rothenberg, where people call and ask me any question that they want on anything, and I have so much knowledge that more often than not, I'll get it right.
Well, but I stump you like a dozen times an hour, so that's confusing.
Well, I would imagine it would be. All right, so somebody called and asked me today a Godfather question.
Oh.
And I thought of you because you adore The Godfather, right?
Love it. Love the movie. Okay. Love the book.
And that was actually another Seinfeld question maybe I could ask you as well because you're a big Seinfeld guy.
It's true.
Okay, so let's see how you do on the first one. I think you'll get it. I'm not trying to embarrass you. It's a great question. The name of the horse that they cut the head and put it in
Yeah. It's funny because I can't spell it, but when he's petting the horse, he says Octoon, Octoon. So I'm not exactly sure how that's spelled, but that's
because he's not saying Octoon.
Well, whatever. I don't know what he's saying. It sounds like that though.
Cartoon.
Cartoon. And I'm saying Octoon. Oh, no. I was way off.
So
okay.
I'm teaching you. So now here's I'm going to take it a step further. So it's Cartoon, right?
Cartoon. Okay.
Cartoon wakes up, freaks out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Khartoum is a city.
Ooh.
It's the capital of a country.
Huh. Not it's a big country, though.
You know what it's the capital of?
You know, geography always bored me for some reason. Like, I literally don't. Sometimes I'll start looking at the map of the United States, just coincidentally, and I'll go, no way is Idaho that big. Like, sometimes I can't believe what I see on the map.
It's the capital and biggest city in Sudan.
Oh, yeah, I'm never going to Sudan.
Well, come on. Isn't that a great piece of information?
Listen, it's something I would expect you to know because it has no value. No one's going to be entertained or informed by it.
But I disagree. I think by having that kind of knowledge, it entertains many.
Is that right?
I think knowledge, what do they say? Knowledge is power, right?
The right knowledge is power. Now, again, listen, we're talking to the five boroughs. These are people, they don't want to hear about your fancy degrees. They don't want to hear that I got accepted to Harvard Law School, even though I didn't know Sudan's capital. They want to hear winning information, or at minimum, they want to laugh. That's it.
I think we provide both. I think that's the beauty of our combination.
Except, unfortunately, your whole Sudan thing didn't either.
No.
I think open up the phone lines.
All right. No, we're not going to play 11 words or less quite yet.
All right. But I think one of the things they can comment on is your Sudan story.
I think, you know what? I guarantee you that there were people driving on Saturday, doing their chores, going to the grocery store and all that kind of stuff. And they heard that and they're like, wow, that's a beautiful piece of knowledge. I'm going to rifle it away. And if I ever need it, I'll bring it back.
You know, maybe, listen, perhaps. I've always been the type, though, I'm a United States guy. Because it's funny, you would think someone who, you know, quite frankly, is educated and I love to read. I just don't want to hear about these other countries. And I know that's, I know that because I'll be honest with you, we're the best. Right? I mean, it's like, who do I want to read about? I want to read about the Patriots in the NFL, for example. Belichick, he's the best. Tell me the country he's doing.
So you don't want to know about the Redskins? You're not interested in Dwayne Haskins?
No. What I'm saying is the information I need to know to handicap the games, that's disposable, right? Every year it kind of comes and it goes. I'm talking about the stuff behind the scenes, the stuff that's part of the foundation. I want to read about Belichick. I want to read about the Pats. I want to read about Brady. If I want to read about the Giants, I want to read about Coughlin. You know, I want to read about winners. And to me, the United States, who's even competitive? Now, obviously,
so you're really down on Sudan.
I'm down, not particularly, just amongst all those countries, I have no idea what's going on. I just know I wouldn't want to be there. I'm kind of like Howard Stern like this. Stern's like this, is he just doesn't want to hear about a bunch of BS because, oh, that's what is a sign you're cultured. And then they're going to look down.
I don't think it's a sign I'm cultured. I just said I have knowledge. No, now, people, I don't want to continue
people
this
who
all,
visit,
all that long. But
people love to visit places like that or
famous
culture.
Sudanese basketball player.
Is it Manute Bol?
Yeah, see?
I just got
doesn't
very
it feel
lucky.
Good?
I got
doesn't
lucky.
It feel good
no.
to have a little knowledge?
Yeah, okay.
Right? All right, let's get to it. We're going to play 11 words or less at 11:15. So 800-919-3776. You ask your question in 11 words or less, and RJ will answer it in 8 minutes or less. That's a promise on both accounts.
You know what's funny? On Twitter, I got someone that was talking about you before the show, and they said, you know, Dave acts like he thinks you're – you know, you are verbose or go on too long, whatever. And he goes, but I can tell he's just soaking in every word. And I just gave him a nod. It was just like, yep.
Listen, I'm a big fan.
I'm a fan of yours, just not so much today so far.
All right, so let's start analyzing and dissecting some of these games. I guess we should jump off with the Giants here. You know, I think it was clear week one, RJ, and I can't even imagine anyone would deny or argue with this. At this point, Daniel Jones is clearly the better quarterback than Eli Manning.
Agreed.
You want to take it a little further? Or
oh, well, I was trying to. I guess here's the way we looked at it. Week one with Daniel Jones, so last week, we were thinking on the field, maybe a smidge below Eli. Now, obviously, that ended up being wrong, but that was our thought. But we thought the Giants being enthused, you know, the sense of here's the future. If we do well, who knows what the limits are and what we're seeing now, quite frankly, right? And we thought that you add up the team enthusiasm with just a little bit of a potential downgrade on the field for Jones. We thought it was a net equal, you know, net neutral, maybe right. A little advantage. Now, what we've seen is that there's a 2-point additional upgrade to Jones. And then I would make the case that the enthusiasm goes up even more. So I think you're looking at 3 points better than last week, quarterback and other teammates, except Barkley. Barkley's worth between 1.5, you know, more towards 1.5 points. So to me, net, I think the Giants are better off. But man, I lament, and I'm sure a lot of fans, or most fans do, how nice would it be to have Barkley and Jones and really see what the future of the franchise, two of them could do.
Yeah. Now, hopefully we're going to get that for the last, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 games of the season. But it is a wonderful thought to have of how good could this offense actually be with an elite running back and potentially an elite quarterback I know it's premature to say that, but certainly week one, he looked incredible. Now, all that being said, Giants have a great win on the road. Fortunate, certainly, but they would have covered the spread regardless. They come home against a bad football team who is on the verge of completely falling apart. They're 0-3. Giants are home, favored by 3. And you like the Redskins in this game, right?
I do, but I'm actually coming off it just a little bit. So, and here's the thing about betting early. You're stuck, meaning if you bet something, you get the benefit of the number that you wanted at the time, but if you change your mind, new information.
Right.
And just in general, what I'm seeing is the betting market is betting the Giants, and it's moving towards 3.5. And
if you got in Giants minus 2.5, do you like that?
Oh, you got to.
Love that.
There's a concept called closing line value. So they do a little abbreviation, so CLV. And what it means is the line gets sharper. The line improves as time passes. So whenever you bet, so let's say that when we did the show at noon yesterday, when I made my quote-unquote bet on the Redskins, that's when I made it, all right? So that's the transaction. In the time from there till kickoff, the line might change, likely will change. Whichever direction it ultimately goes, speaks to my chance of winning. If the line would go up to 3.5, my chance of winning goes way down. If it goes to 2.5, my chance of winning with the Redskins plus 3 goes way up. Now, you might say, but RJ, you've got the same pick regardless at the same number. Yeah, true. But what the market does tells you what the right side is. This is the ultimate collective IQ. And that's why it's so hard to beat the market. It's not so much the bookies are smart. It's all the bettors in aggregate are smart. That's why I like to bet early, because then I can avoid some of the bigger bettors who wait till game day, because the limits actually go up two different times during the week. So it opens up on Sunday night. Then the limits go up again, or the first time on Thursday. Thursday morning, if you see a move, it's usually pretty sharp. It's the big bettors waiting for the limits. And then Sunday, game day, the limits go up again. So the biggest bettors really keep an eye on the limits.
All right. I'm supposed to say something like, oh, that was...
If it genuinely was entertaining...
No, I actually think it's interesting.
I think most people do.
The limits change as the week went on. So let me just ask you this now. If you could opt out of the wager you took against Canty of the Redskins plus 3 and pick a different game, would you?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
And well, that's good to know.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I think to some degree, and this is a mistake and again, obviously I have traits of a professional, but I'm not betting all day every day, so I don't like to call myself a professional bettor. But here's what I'll say. I bet a lot of money, so I mean, you know, I think it's fair. Here's what I'll say, though. Here's a mistake I make and most of the pros I know make. They get the answer right directionally, but they don't quantify it. So quickly, my handicap was Giants are such a big upgrade in enthusiasm compared to how they were, okay, before last week's game. Thus, people tend to overreact. Washington looked horrible. People tend to overreact in the downward direction. And the line was 2.5 earlier in the week, and I was able to get 3. So I'm thinking, ooh, I'm getting line value. So if you add that all up, that sounds great. I think the mistake I made was I didn't really think who's the better team right now, which seems obvious, but I was looking more at the direction of the biases, and I should have taken a breath and say, do I really think Washington is equal to the Giants? Because I think if they are, you got to like Washington plus 3 because Giants don't have a great home field. And I'm just not sure right now with all the enthusiasm, even without Barkley, that the Giants aren't a better team. And if they are, plus 3 is not a good bet for me.
All right, but you have the Redskins plus 3 and Canty has the Cowboys minus 2.5. We'll look at that game, as many other games as we can. We're going to play 11 words or less next. RJ created it. We bring it to air. You ask a question in, well, you guessed it, 11 words or less, 800-919-3776. I guess you can tweet them as well, right? A tweet in 11 words or less. I can ask RJ on air at Rothenberg ESPN as well. So 11 words or less next. We'll go around the NFL, get all his hot takes. I was touting you earlier today. 11-4 in the Super Contest this year?
5-0 last week, baby.
I mean, and I touted, I mean, unbelievable. You really are. The fact that we get to walk the same earth as you is a privilege for all of us. The RJ Bell segment of the Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN, powered by Sportsbook 360 at Resorts World Catskills Casino Resort. Resorts World Catskills Casino Resort has a new way to play at Sportsbook 360. RJ, listen up. Now they're open 7 days a week. Resorts World Catskills Casino Resort. Playtime elevated. Gambling problem? Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Must be 21 or over to gamble. Standard rates may apply. Hey, RJ, how you doing?
Pretty good, you know. I was just thinking about Sinatra. The thing that's amazing about him, usually the most popular guy isn't the guy who the insiders like. Right? Like even with Springsteen or something, you hear about, oh, John Prine or whatever from the 70s. And it's like you listen to those guys and it's like, no, you know, I enjoy the Red Bank Rockers or whatever. But Springsteen. But the insiders tend to love the obscure people. But even they put Sinatra at the top when it comes to singers.
Great point, RJ. Unbelievable point. Let me move on.
go ahead.
Panthers, Texans. A lot of people want some insight on this one. Houston, good win last week. They're 2-1. They almost could be 3-1 if they played a little 3-0 if they played a little better defense down in New Orleans against the Saints in that opener. They're giving what? What do you have? Four and a half in this one?
Yeah, more towards four. We played this in the Super Contest, the 4.5. You know, not a great number, but we like the game and we like Houston. And here's the thinking, and this is a great example. So last week, Carolina was on the road at Arizona, correct?
Yeah.
And in the game, Arizona at home was favored by 2. Now, Carolina is a 4-point underdog on the road. So literally everything's the same, same quarterback, same team, same venue, or at least they're on the road, and they are getting 2 extra points. So what does that imply?
That Houston's a better team.
By 2 points.
And I would say they're a better team by more than 2.
You think?
Yes.
They are.
Than Arizona?
They are. We have them estimated at 8 points better.
Right. So then I'm right.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is, I was being rhetorical. It was like, yeah, you know, obviously. And the point I'm making here, this is a massive upgrade of Allen. And to me, it just is not warranted. I mean, Carolina knows him better than anyone. And what did they do? They drafted a quarterback, I think it was in the 3rd round, after he had a heck of a game week 17, remember? So I like the numbers. I like the touchdown passes. I just think the idea that one game has told us so much about him. Yeah. I mean, if we only upgrade Daniel Jones by 2 points, I don't think Allen should get upgraded by more than 2. And literally, there's been like a 6-point adjustment week to week. This is the way we perceive value, and it's why we like Houston.
Hey, great point, RJ. Let me move on. Brilliant point. Let me move on to you like how I do that now?
You know something? I can't tell if you're sarcastic, but I don't really care.
Either way, I'm giving you a little bit of love. I know that you like the Chiefs laying the 6.5 in Detroit, and I think everybody does. I don't know how you could like Detroit in this game. All Pat Mahomes has shown is that, I mean, last week he puts up 33 points against a top 5 defense in the NFL. That's without his best receiver. That's without his running back. That's without the left tackle. I mean, you have to think there's more of the same in that tomorrow against Detroit, no?
No, I agree. But here's the thing. Road favorites always look good because the line's artificially depressed by 6 points, right? When you, as opposed to if this game were in Kansas City, you do a 6-point swing if you flip venues, and now
maybe a little more because it's Kansas City, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. So
well, I mean, look at there, huh?
Yeah. So you're, I'm thinking. Well, see, I tend to affirm people when they do good things. So to me, 13 points. If I said Kansas City favored by 13. At home against Detroit, would you think that's short, that's cheap?
No.
Well, why would it be cheap here?
Because I just feel like to win by a touchdown is very doable. I would still take Kansas City and lay the 13, but I feel better about laying the 6.5 on the road.
Now, all that said, we played Kansas City in the Super Contest, and here's why. The number you're seeing at 6.5 is probably a dead number, meaning that even at pregame, the industry hasn't figured out yet how to flush a number from the data system when they take it off the board. So what's happened is it went off the board with the uncertainty with Detroit's quarterback Stafford. This line was 7.5 in places. So when we bet it, or when we put the contest picks in last night, the market 7.5. We're able to lay 6.5. That's the definition of value. When you have to pick 5 picks, right, that's going to be one of them.
Right, and I agree with you. If this game was 7.5, I would avoid it. It wouldn't make me like Detroit. I would just avoid it. At 6.5, I like Kansas City. So you already don't like my New Orleans pick plus the 2.5 against Dallas. Let me give you another one I took against the guys in our show picks this week, and that's Minnesota plus 2 on the road in Chicago.
You know something? Me and Fezzik, and Fezzik, only guy to win 2 Super Contests. He is a brilliant NFL handicapper. He's on my show every weekday. He does the podcast, everything. He and I fought about this game more than any other game. So let's do a little exercise. He liked Minnesota too. Let's do a little exercise. For the line to be bettable, you have to be able to move it 2 points and still think it's a fair line. Okay? So at least 50-50. If you look at Minnesota and say, now that it's like 1.5, all of a sudden now they're going to be favored by 1. Let's swing it 2 points. And remember, going through Pick'em isn't the same, so it's a little complicated. But going from 1.5 to 1 on the other side is fair. Okay, so now the question is, do you really feel like Minnesota should be favored in Chicago?
No.
Then how do you like it? That's the thing. Most games should be a pass. That's what people don't realize. Most games should be a pass.
But I'm not giving points.
You're giving 1.5.
I thought, no, I got Minnesota plus 2.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. But what I'm saying is plus 2, but I guess what I'm trying to explain to you, Dave, and I thought we talked about this on Thursday's show, so I should have slowed down a little bit, is when you have to lay minus 110. So let's understand, these are not contests people are playing in most of the time. They're betting. And right. They're betting 110 to win 100. Or some say 100, but I like 100. Okay. So now it's one of my things.
I didn't know you could say 100. I thought it was just 100 for you.
It is. That's what I can. I can do anything pretty much. It's just I choose certain things.
I love it.
It's what my wife says. It's like, you can do it. Why don't you do it for me? I just shrug. You know, so
I'm gonna leave that alone. Continue along.
I have problems on that front too sometimes. So here, I'm a little stubborn, but here's what I'll say. Let's use a 6-point or a 5-point favorite as an example. And I'll do this quick. At 5, if the line should be 5.5 or 6, you don't play it. At 6.5, you do. Okay. Meaning, you're laying 5, it should be 6.5. That's enough value. Okay? If you like the dog, then 3.5, right? So if the line's 3.5, you're plus 5, you've got value. Anywhere in between is in a corridor of somewhere between 52.4% one way, 52.4% the other. Now, the numbers are going to start confusing everyone, and even me, because numbers on the radio don't work really well. In general, though, think about it. If you have to win 52.5 about cause of the minus 110, that's pretty simple. The line can't be right, or how do you win more than 52.5? So by definition, you're saying the line is wrong. So a great exercise is 2 points or so is about what you want. Move the line 2 points, and can you make the case? And I'll give you an example. I like Tampa Bay plus 9.5. You move that baby to 7.5. I shrug. Yep, I like Tampa. I don't love them, but I think that's a fair line, Tampa plus 7.5. So that's a great exercise for people to do just to get a feel, especially around key numbers, of if they really like this or does it feel they only like it a little bit. And there you go.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.